This is Joe Costello's WFO Radio
Ignition,
covering everything that has wheels, an engine, and a driver.
The reason I race is to get the chicks. You know what I mean?
NASCAR, IndyCar, Formula One, sports cars, and NHRA drag racing.
Hey, guys, just want to let you know, WFO rocks.
WFO Radio is total motorsports.
It's just so cool.
Fasten your seatbelts, fire up the ignition, and drop the hammer.
Yeah, let's do it.
Now, here's your host, Joe Costello.
WFO Radio, what's up, everybody? The podcast is back, Ignition. I'm Joe Costello, your podcast host, and we haven't done one of these for a little bit. It's been a while, and this is perfect for the Thanksgiving pre-extravaganza. Giovanni in Miami is here. That's me.
All right.
That's me.
Terrible. Kind of threw me off there.
We also have a very special guest in studio, Sports Radio Vlad, formerly L.A. Vlad.
Wow.
Right?
You leave L.A. for, what, 6 months? And
you're no longer L.A. Vlad, but you still can't spell Vlad.
Without L.A.?
Right. And we have the fireplace crackling in the background.
Is that what that is?
That's
I thought you were like, that's it.
Wow.
I figured for the Thanksgiving special.
I don't think anybody could see that right
here. Is that a discernible sound effect?
I don't think you know what it is.
No. No, it is not.
I don't think you could tell what it is.
Listen, not everything that we do here is going to be a winner, all right? It's not all going to be great fun. But we are going to send off everybody into the Thanksgiving holiday to gorge yourselves and eat and spend time with family with this show. There's NHRA Nitro also coming out this week. For those of you who have never listened to WFO Radio, maybe you are finding this over the Thanksgiving break. Like, we always have to leave room for that possibility, that there's a new person.
New fans.
They've stumbled upon the show. They're trying to get the grip of what's this all about. So here's the deal. This is what it's all about. We cover NASCAR and motorsports, NHRA drag racing, but really talk about everything that hits our mind. The show is located in southeastern Florida, but we talk about everything. We're all over the place. And now that the racing season is over, we really go into just whatever happens to come up.
I think we're just South Florida. We're not southeastern Florida. I mean, you're being more specific,
yeah.
But
the geographical area
is just South Florida.
Naples, I'm against. A lot of people that
they're
I encounter.
Southwest. Florida.
So we're South Florida.
We're South Florida.
And they're Southwest.
They're Southwest.
They're Southwest.
Yeah.
Jeez.
South Florida.
Yeah, Naples is not South Florida.
Listen.
They're the West Coast.
Joe's giving,
I encounter a lot of people when I tell them I'm from Hollywood, Florida,
yeah.
They don't know where I'm talking about. A lot of people, they think Florida, and you know what they're thinking about? Mickey Mouse.
No, that's Central Florida.
I know.
Right.
That's why I say Southeastern Florida.
No,
wait, Southeast
usually
Florida.
Usually when you say South Florida,
we're
they're
not
thinking
in Naples.
About Miami. They're thinking about Southeast.
Well, I say Miami, but
okay.
The people from Miami get mad when I say Miami.
Why?
Because I'm not Miami. I'm 305, but I'm not. I'm 954.
No, he's not 305.
But I am. I was born in the 305.
That don't mean anything. They
changed it to 954 on me. It's not my fault. Point is, not North Florida and not Central Florida.
You're South Florida.
Right. And you know what? We are going to talk a little bit about the Miami Dolphins at some point. That stadium is right down the street. That's a great way to put us in terms of geography, but not too close. It's considerably down the street.
No, it's a pretty far walk.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can't imagine. I can't imagine. So Kyle Busch wins the Ford EcoBoost 400. Giovanni was at the race.
That's right.
The NHRA finals out there in Pomona, California. Missed the first one that I've ever missed. That's it. Never had missed a Homestead race.
Terrible, man.
It's the final.
Broke a streak.
It's the final. The streak is broken.
And you didn't get to go to the final race.
I know.
The final race.
But I got to say, having been out there and experiencing the NHRA Auto Club finals, I would not trade it. Like, I got to tell you, I had a great time. But I
great
bet,
company, man.
I bet you guys had a great time here, too. So I'll tell you my stuff, which people will hear on NHRA Nitro, where we have Fast Jack Beckman going to be on the show, and of course, Alan Reinhart, Jed Coughlin, Gianna Salinas, all going to be on to talk about winning the race, and we'll do our parade of champions on the show throughout the winter break, December and January, et cetera, and so on. But, Gio, you went out to the Ford EcoBoost 400. Kyle Busch won the race.
He did.
Kyle Busch is the champion.
He kind of stunk up the joint.
We'll talk about why. Congratulations to Mr. Fantasy NASCAR, our 2019 WFO Radio Fantasy NASCAR champion. Way to go, Mr. Fantasy NASCAR.
Mr. Fantasy
Vlad,
NASCAR.
Thank you for doing the pertinent sound effect. Much better than my fireplace at the start of the show.
You get a golf clap from Vlad. Yeah.
Mr. Fantasy NASCAR wins his name on the trophy.
Nice.
In just his second year of competition.
Wow. No sophomore slump for you. No sophomore slump for you.
Well, this is a Hall of Fame Fantasy NASCAR player.
He is in the Fantasy Sports Hall of Fame.
Wait, what? Is this his second year? How is he in a fantasy?
He's second year in our league. He's been playing fantasy all over the place. He stumbled upon our league, and he comes in second year and wins. So congratulations.
So he came in here and put his name on our trophy and basically told
us. He conquered.
He wiped the floor with us.
He came, you saw, he conquered.
Which brings me to my next point. Shame, WFO Radio fantasy players. Shame.
Infiltration.
How can you allow this to happen to this league? This once great league. With the Tom Patsis Cold Hard Art Trophy made of Dale Earnhardt Jr., Jeff Gordon, and Jimmy Johnson parts, as well as Don Schumacher Racing parts, as well as Penske Indy 500 winning IndyCar parts, as far as we know.
Wow.
Patrick the Webmaster finished second. Good job, Patrick.
He tried to close the gap a little bit there, but he just couldn't do it.
We'll do a full rundown.
Way to fail forward, Patrick.
Yes.
What happened to you guys, man? What happened to the Costello Army?
My team was not ever a good team.
Jeez.
But we have got some strong players in this league, and the Hall of Famer showed why he's a Hall of Famer.
He came in.
He did.
He did. No, he did. He really did. He put the whooping.
He put the whooping on the players that are playing in our league, including the Dirty Hippies.
Oh,
who
my
should
take
God. That, take the loss very personally.
God. How did the Dirty Hippies just go down?
He's not paying attention. He's living his life, as are so many.
It doesn't
this
matter.
League
they
requires,
don't join.
It
listen,
requires
guys, listen, guys.
Dedication.
But you join, you're in it to the end of the season, so you got to stay in it. You got to make sure you get your lineups in on time. You pick the right guys, and you win.
And where did you finish this?
Yeah, Vlad doesn't want to be in the league.
No, you didn't invite me.
You're always invited.
You're usually in the league.
Nobody sent me the
link.
That's
not true.
Where was the link, Joe?
It's in your email.
We're not going to get into
this. It's a little late.
Yeah, okay.
Don't worry. Guess what? February, we start again. Do you want to be in, Vlad?
I'm in.
Okay. We'll see. Good. Welcome to the league.
Welcome to the league. I never left until last season when you didn't invite me.
We had Carlos Hockenstuff was in the league for a minute, and it turned horribly wrong. But anyway. Jimmy Johnson has announced his retirement. We'll talk about the race, but that's a big thing right there.
Double J is retiring in 2020.
Yeah, that makes sense. I like that.
Seventh time, right?
Going for number eight.
Going for number eight, and if he fails, he'll be tied with the greatest of ever. Perfect.
But if he wins,
Petty
and
Earnhardt and
drives
Johnson.
Away with number eight. Is he the greatest of all time?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the stats and the trophies would say so.
Yeah.
I mean, people will tell you that.
But he's going to end up with less wins than Jeff Gordon.
Is he? No, he's better than Gordo.
Yeah.
He's better than Gordo.
He's got more championships, but he doesn't have more wins.
He's Gordo 2.0. He's got more, but he's got fewer years, too.
Yeah, he's retiring young.
I didn't like them breaking up the Chad Knaus, Jimmy Johnson deal. Still don't like it.
I got to say, yeah, I definitely don't think it was a good move, but what are you going to do? They did it. And look, it worked out for the kid.
Yeah, well, it is. How could it, you know, I could drive and Chad Knaus could tune me to a win. No, I'm kidding. I don't believe that. While I was at the NHRA Finals, some interesting stuff happened, you know, after the runs and all. We had the big incident with Steve Torrence and Cam Foray. Which I just showed Vlad.
My new favorite guy, Steve Torrence.
Well, I wanted to keep it fresh. And so while Giovanni was doing the poker show, Poker Action Line, with Big Dave Lemon and Joe Rodriguez, I show Vlad, you know, who is not an NHRA drag racing guy by any means, but he'll watch what he's a sports consumer. And so every once in a while, I'll throw drag racing in front of Vlad, and he saw the drama of the finals. So I'll be interested to get your opinion on some of the stuff that went down. I can tell you, you know, Steve Torrence wins the championship. Robert Height wins the championship. Erica Enders wins the championship.
Three time.
We're going to hear all of them on WFO radio in the coming weeks. But really, the thing that I was interested in is the whole physical violence deal. The face shove.
He snuffed him.
What do you mean when you say that?
He snuffed him.
He snuffed him.
Because he open-handed. Was it a punch?
Is that what you're talking about?
No.
Snuff?
No, that's what we call it back in New York. When you snuff somebody, like you just take their face and you
see, I've never heard that. That's a move with a name?
Yes, yes. You snuff them.
You just push their face.
Like, yeah, you just push their face and you just do it with aggression. You just snuff them.
It's not designed to hurt the person as much as it is to disrespect them.
It's to let them know you're about that, you with all the smoke, and also to embarrass them. And let them know that, you're ready to fight.
Got it.
Because you saw what happened afterwards. He was ready to, he had his arm cocked back and ready to let him.
It was unfortunate. I know both of the guys. It makes it a little weird for me because I have a personal relationship with both of those people. Drag racing is small enough. It's not a big sport where things are happening all over the country. Everybody is in the same little community. So, it was disappointing to see, but this is the kind of thing that happens in sports. What was upsetting to me, like, I wasn't, like, upset by any of the stuff. Like, oh, my gosh, oh, this is a horrible, violent moment. I didn't feel that at all at any point. Just like, oh, well, here we go. What was shocking was I said it on a piece I put out last week, like a mob mentality of fans out there that said Steve should be out of the race, lose the championship,
out of
racing forever. People were
really forever.
I swear, people were talking about. Multiple people brought up like California Penal Code -2-5-7. You know what I mean? That it's assault, and I just feel like that's such a rush to an extreme position. We were at a hockey game yesterday. That, you know, the California Penal Code 2-4-7 gets broken at every hockey game.
All the time?
All the time. But anyway, so we'll get into that. Big sports weekend. Speaking of Panthers hockey, when we get to Sports Collision, me and the Giovanni in Miami took great benefit. We worked really hard, went out to the box office and purchased some Panther tickets. Just kidding, Vlad. Right?
Nothing. That's
right?
So funny.
We went to Panthers hockey, lower bowl, right by the glass. I got, for the last 2 minutes of the third period, it was amazing. That was fun. Watched the Deontay. This is a huge weekend for the show, guys. We got so much to talk about. Deontay Wilder.
Joe's favorite new boxer.
My favorite new athlete across, not my favorite athlete, my favorite
new athlete.
Deontay
That's
Wilder.
What I just said.
Yeah. I've been following this guy for a while, bought the fight, spent money on the fight.
That's when you know you're Joe's favorite new athlete, when Joe's willing to spend money to watch you fight.
It's a good gauge, it's right?
Only Mayweather, Pacquiao, who else?
Very few.
Delahoya.
And far in between.
I knew this was going to be good.
Ricky Hatton. Yeah, that's it.
I knew this was going to be good. No, back in the day, I think got Ward Gotti
well,
free.
Well, that was free. Guys were free.
But we had an event.
Yeah.
The money is a different element.
No. Pay-per-view is different.
Remember Ward Gotti 3, how great that was? Unbelievable.
All three of them were great.
Are those guys both dead?
Gotti is.
Just Gotti. Anyway.
Yeah, that girl killed him.
Yeah.
Yep. Total murder.
That was terrible.
Total murder. Horrible. Anyway, Deontay Wilder is going to be the next big thing.
Bronze bomber.
Yeah.
Literally.
It was. I enjoyed it.
Who is he? 6'7",
225?
I think it was, 6'7", 225, or 230.
Giant. All muscle.
Alabama.
All muscle.
Country
giant.
Strong.
Yeah.
And a cool personality, too. Like, it seems like he would
to
be
this day.
A nice person.
He definitely gets the whole entertainment aspect of it going.
Totally. Came out in a wild, crazy costume, like a future gladiator made of bronze.
Yeah.
He hit that man so hard that the first five rows got a sweat shower. All the sweat that was on Ortiz's face landed.
By the way, that guy was a big boy too, 6'4", like 2.
And he could hit.
Nicknamed King Kong.
Oh, yeah, my
238,
God.
I think it was. The, yeah, King Kong.
King
Joe.
Kong. Yeah. From Miami, by the way. Cubano, from southeastern Florida, a city called Miami.
Oh, well, he's actually from North Cuba.
Well, that's
that's what you're talking about.
Yes,
right.
Exactly.
See, the North further Cuba. South you go, you keep going north down
right.
here.
So. But that was good stuff, man. I had a great time with that. And I think that there's a possibility, you know, with all the MMA and UFC and all that stuff becoming popular, I think that boxing can come back now with this. Because there's nothing like a heavyweight fight, man. We just haven't had a really compelling, exciting heavyweight personality for a long time.
And Floyd's coming back in 2020.
Is that true?
Yep.
No. Mm-hmm.
To fight?
Mm-hmm. Fight who?
Nah.
He's fighting.
You're breaking news. Who does fight? Hey.
He put it out there. He just put it out there last week, couple of days ago.
What?
Yeah, he's coming back in 2020.
That's cool.
Why would I be making
No, I know, but I'm just trying to think who his competition would be. Like, what's he going to try to do?
Easy. He's going to fight Pacquiao again.
Oh, come on.
I don't want to see old guy fight.
Nah, that's terrible.
Who cares?
It's easy money for you guys.
It is.
Pacquiao's looked great the last couple of fights.
Yeah.
Hey, I had shoulder problems. Okay, well, now let's do it again. Let's run it back.
Let's do it again.
Yeah, he's right.
You know what? I'll probably get that fight. If it's $120, no.
See how quickly that went from, no, to, yeah, I'm going to buy it again. Yeah, I'm going to buy it again. Just like that.
Yeah. I'll buy it again. I like Money Mayweather. I like Fight Night. I like the feel. I like the fun.
Listen. There's nothing better than going to a fight inside a big fight. There's no other big feeling. No sport. No other feeling for a sporting event than going to a big fight.
All right. Well, build some credibility. What big fights have you been to? I know you've been to the World Series.
I went to the first Pacquiao Mayweather.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that'll do it. There's your cred.
You know, I went to the first Pacquiao and Mayweather, and it was unbelievable.
I can't imagine.
No, dude, you know, you're coming. You have to have special credential. It's not the regular credential. They got to go. It was like some Star Wars stuff. You know what I mean? Like beep, hologram stuff. I still got it to this day. That's why I was like, this is the craziest stuff that I've ever seen in my life.
So, NHRA was in Vegas a couple of weeks back, the second to last race, the penultimate race. That's why I was there for 10 days. And the SEMA show is there. And so I've got a move I always do, which is, we switch hotels when I go from working for these people versus working for those people, the Performance TV, from NHRA to Performance TV. So they stay in the Luxor, which whatever, the Luxor, it's a big pyramid. It's cool. But I go to the convention center and then I come back on that tram, that monorail.
I love the monorail.
Love the monorail. $5 end to end. Or you can do all-day pass, which is great, and end up at MGM, and then just walk from MGM to Luxor. So I see the promotion. They had the big ring. They had the gold lion and the ring, and I was like, oh, my gosh. And that's what made me decide to get the fight. I became aware.
It's got to be the most amazing feeling. It is an exciting feeling because you know that everybody's there for that big event. And, you know, unless you have big money, you got to be very, you know. You're lucky.
What's up with the cheap seats at a fight like that, though? Because, you know, are they, like, way up there? Are there cheap seats?
Well,
are there,
for that,
like,
Mayweather fight, that had to be in, like, you know, still in the, you know, several thousands, you know.
Yeah, so we're not getting in there. You're watching it from, like, a bar. You're watching it from the sports book. You're crowding around the sports book.
And the sports book was charging, like, $100. Bars were charging $100 for people to get in to watch fights. You know? Yeah, no, it was big. It was big, but I was there from the beginning when Los Angeles, when they did their first press conference. So from there, you know, the hype is there. They're talking their trash. Floyd's playing the ultimate heel. You know, everybody loves Manny's story. So, yeah, boxing has the drama that, you know, pulls you in. But then when you get there, that fight week.
Yeah.
That fight week is something you've never seen before. So, I mean, especially if you love boxing. To see all these legendary boxers that you grew up watching, you've seen, you've heard about, just coming in, giving their expertise, their analysis on the fight, you know, seeing the wear and tear and the physical damage that boxing does to these athletes. So it's also something that you take a look like, damn, man, this guy's been through, he was through some wars.
Right. Well, that's the downside of boxing.
Right. So this is why a lot of us. As much as people hate Floyd, you know, I'm not one of them, but I give Floyd credit because he realized, yeah, you may not. I pull you in. I suck you guys in because I talk trash. I'm a great fighter, and you want to see me lose. And I will not lose because I will be a defensive, smart, creative fighter, and I will be able to enjoy all the money that I've made and live a long, healthy life.
Yeah, well, then that's the problem.
Yeah, no, and he fought everybody at the right time.
Right.
He didn't fight Pacquiao.
He was strategic.
Right. He was extremely. And
which is why.
Well, it was genius also, and he made as much money as he could.
But as much as you want to say that he didn't fight Pacquiao in the right time, can we really say that if they made all that money? Because can you
imagine? Well, no.
They wouldn't make that amount of money.
It did take a long time.
We're not going to say right or wrong time, but it's like he didn't fight them when he was in his prime.
But he fought them when they were the richest.
Everybody.
Well, but they could have done it three times by now for all we know. Like, that's the thing. Give us what we want. That's all. And that's what this Deontay Wilder is about. He's going to give us what we want. He's fighting everybody.
He's going to fight Fury.
He's fighting everybody.
He's going to fight Fury for a second
time. There's a bunch of heavyweights that are all good, and he wants to fight them all. He's fighting them all in order. And he fights again in February, and I think if he is able to knock all these dudes out like he's knocked everybody else out, he can become as big as the heavyweight champs of the past that you can name. You know,
I appreciate his grind. I am, you know, we've all seen him fight on Fox, you know, on the PBC channel, PBC on Fox, and then now he's getting where people want to see him on pay-per-view, and that's big, you know, because unless you're a real boxing fan, you wouldn't know who Ortiz was. You probably didn't even see the first Ortiz-Wilder fight, and that was a good fight.
Right.
So then the fact that he was fighting him a second time, a lot of people didn't even realize. A lot of people were saying that he should not have fought Ortiz a second time because he was risking losing, and he has a fight with Fury, his second fight with Fury set up in February. But Wilder's a boxer. He's a fighter. He wants to fight, and he also wanted to help Ortiz because Ortiz was in a situation where his daughter needs money for surgery.
I think that the mainstream is just getting on with this deal. And I think, you know, he's got to keep winning, though. And that's what makes it interesting.
No, keep on winning and keep showcasing your personality. And that's what he's doing right now. And that was one hell of a punch. And that was a good fight. And I can't wait to see him in February against Fury.
Very entertaining. Very entertaining stuff. We hadn't done a show. I don't know. Did we talk about Roger Penske buying the everything? That is IndyCar. No, I don't think we did. I've been traveling so much. You know, I've been gone considerably. We did some sort of a show, Gio, right? At some point, somewhere. When? Did we?
Bro, you've been gone the whole month of November.
I feel like I've been gone for too long.
You were on the radio. On the radio.
I'm on the radio. We did a show where we were doing a podcast.
Where you were
great.
On Skype, I believe. And right?
On the phone, maybe?
Yeah, I don't even. Right. Or, yeah, I don't even remember. That your computers weren't working and. And you had to phone it in without any internet.
I literally phoned it in.
No internet in the hotel. The Wi-Fi was down.
I don't know how these travel guys do it, guys. I don't know how they do it. But I would like to announce to everybody out there that I have achieved status.
What did you do?
Woo! Platinum Pro once again. Yes, Elephant Racers, not quite Executive Platinum or Super Diamond for Delta. But I have achieved my 90 segments. And miles combination, and so I will be able to enjoy the wonderful benefits of Platinum Pro again in 2020.
Way to go, Costello.
Hey.
You don't have to sit in the back with the riffraff? What that means?
Thank goodness. No, I do have to sit in the back with the riffraff most of the time, but I am considered for upgrades on a more regular basis. And I get two free checked bags, which was beneficial since I did play golf out there in Pomona.
What did you do?
I did horribly. It was terrible. It was a nightmare. I did not have one good shot that I felt like I was a good shot.
Hot shots. That's why.
We went to the driving range a couple days before. I was hitting them nice and straight. Andy Crane, golfer out there, he's laughing, I'm sure, because at the range, I was hitting them straight. I had a 4-iron that was perfect, straight, and totally lost it at the course. We did use my shot in the best ball tournament a couple of times. Right? But not because it was a good shot, but because it was the least bad shot. I had the least bad shot a bunch of times, but I never had a good shot.
Did you putt good?
I sunk a couple of putts, yes, for the team. And so I've been invited back for next year. Unless I got to improve my short game or I'm off the team. I know. It's a little nerve-wracking.
You could be relegated.
Oh, my God. Relegation. That's terrible, bro.
I don't want to be relegated. All right. Jeez. So that's what's going to be on the show, and it's all brought to you by these great sponsors. Yes, we have sponsors. Did you know we got a new Patreon? We got a new Patreon on the Patreon page.
Wow,
Mark.
Thank you. Way to go, Patreon.
Thank you, Patreons. Now, I was thinking about the Patreons the other day. They like just pay us directly, Vlad. They just send us money. They're on a monthly subscription for this.
Nice.
Right?
That's dope.
Yeah, no, it is great. And there's so many people that do it. They know that we're creating art here. They know that we're putting our heart into this, and it is what it is. But we also have great sponsors like Total Seal Piston Rings, the leader in ring seal technology for all you engine builders out there. Obviously, you should be using Total Seal, from Formula One to Indy cars to stock cars to NHRA drag racing, of course. Total Seal Piston Rings, the leader in ring seal technology. And Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Jack Beckman's going to be on NHRA Nitro. He used to be an instructor at Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Some racers that he instructed, Erica Enders and Robert Height.
Hey.
Wow, look at that.
Isn't that interesting?
Full circle.
Champions.
He got beaten by one of them, and the other one won the championship for the third time. I thought that was interesting. Samtech.edu, the School of Automotive Machinists and Technology. Start Actually, your education at full speed.
They're both three-time champions.
Yes, they are both three-time champions. Isn't that incredible? I hear Andrew Brenwald, Bug Huntin', his son, is thinking about going to samtech.edu.
Wow, good for him.
Yes, young man who's like thinking about what he's going to do. Like, what am I going to do, man, with my life? Job? Vlad, you have chosen the career of sports radio. Would you recommend it to a young 22-year-old out there? I want to rock.
No, I wouldn't.
You
I
would not.
No.
What about a media-driven profession?
Getting TV.
Yeah, and even that, it's just so tough and competitive, and you got to move a lot. The idea of being a CNC machinist, electronic fuel injection expert, or engine builder, machinist, go to work hard, but love what you're doing, and always have a job that you can make pretty good money at, always, anywhere.
Always, always.
Wherever you are, no-brainer. Samtech.edu. MagicDryUS.com, the official organic absorbent of the NHRA, Magic Dry. And, of course, Marvin Rodak, RodaksCoffeeAndGrills.com. Don't forget those holiday packs. Marvin Rodak, coffee, hot sauce, spice rub. Looking at Gio, we should have had some Rodaks before we started this show. But we're good to go. And those are our great sponsors, plus Drag Racing Edge and EV3 Drag Racing, which people still love EV3 Drag Racing, man. They always tell me out there at the finals. Ran into a lot of WFO listeners.
Nice.
Did you see Carlos Hawkins stuff down at the
I did not.
NASCAR race?
I did not. Hmm. I saw Dan. I saw Elephant
Race. Elephant Race. We hooked him up with tickets?
Well, yes. He was one of the people that contacted.
And you gave away all the tickets, right?
I did. Yes, I did. I did. I did.
To our listeners. That's fantastic.
I did. There was Dan, and then there was that other guy, Robert.
Robert.
I got him. He got like a four-pack. He was there with a bunch of friends.
He loves that. He had such a great time.
Then there was another couple that reached out. I think that was Danny, that Danny email.
So Dan and Danny were two different people? It turned out to be the case? That's great. Thank you, Danny. Anyway, glad you guys could make it out there to the Ford EcoBoost 400 on behalf of the folks at Homestead Miami Speedway. Here on WFO Radio. Kyle Busch wins the race. Martin Truex Jr. second. Eric Jones third. Kevin Harvick fourth. Do you have audio from Kyle Busch, or is it?
No, it's too far gone.
No, it's two weeks ago.
Gone.
It's old news.
I agree.
It's not my fault, though. Like, I got back on Tuesday.
It was boring. You know, Kyle Busch wins. It's boring.
Wow. So now we're going to talk.
It was the most disappointing of all the guys.
Let's talk about the Daytona 500. Who's next? Poor Kyle, but you know what? He is the champ.
No, look, you know what?
He's the champ.
I got to say it. I usually have always
He led called. 120 laps. I mean,
I told you he stunk up the joint.
But from what I understand, everybody else in the championship four made a mistake, and he did not make a mistake. You know what I mean? Like, they all choked it up. And he ran a good competitive race.
I would definitely say, like, Truex had a big problem. But they all overcame it. And even after everybody had their mistakes, the top four were running in the, you know, one through four for a good amount of the race.
Okay, when you say they overcame it, like Truex with the crossed tires situation.
Right.
If they had not crossed the tires and instead of going through all that nonsense.
Then he might have had a 10-second lead.
Right.
Yes. Agreed.
Just to make that case, what was Kevin Harvick's problem? Spat on pit road? What did he do?
No, I don't. I think Kevin Harvick, he ended up just having the fastest car at the end. Like, they were set up, you know, they had a car that was good on the short track. On the short, yeah, he led the whole first segment.
And that's what it seemed like, is that Kyle Busch's car on the long run was just better than everybody, and that's what it takes to win in Homestead at night.
Yep.
And that is
It was also one of those weird races where there wasn't too many cautions, and so he was able to put a lot of guys a lap down early.
Homestead is like that. We don't have a lot of cautions because they got
but
so many grooves.
They're usually very racy and all that, and he had like a giant lead pretty much the whole race.
Well, I saw the end. The end highlight was awful. There was one car on a track alone. There was nobody even around him.
Right.
It wasn't a battle.
Dude, he ran like that for the last whole segment, well, basically. And
congratulations,
it was a little,
Kyle Busch.
And that's what I took
Joe
a shot
Gibbs
at.
Racing. You know what's a shame is that
the coach.
Well, listen, you know, you got that big when Martin Truex Jr. was at Furniture Row, he won the championship. And now that he's at Joe Gibbs Racing, what happens? Just they mix up the tires. They get a crossed set of tires just by accident out of nowhere. No, man, the fix was in, obviously, for Kyle Busch to win the race. Joe Gibbs Racing. Clearly, they sabotaged Martin Truex Jr. They gave him the wrong set of tires.
So you think Adam Stevens went over there and sabotaged?
No, the tire specialist level. Like someone just, oops, made a mistake somewhere in there when they were getting the tires. You make sure that Kyle wins this race.
But why not Denny in that case?
Well, because Kyle Busch is clearly the preferred driver over there at Joe Gibbs because he makes the most noise. He whines the most. He demanded it.
Well, you know what they say. Squeaky tire gets the oil.
That's right. He demanded it from the coach. He's like, you know, I better win or else.
And M&M's brings the most money in.
That's exactly right.
Amen. Oh,
we're terrible.
Okay, so I don't believe any of that. I don't believe any of that. I don't believe any of that. None of
it.
No, I got to.
That's the rumor we're starting
right
here.
Right. Well, exactly. That's how easy a conspiracy theory is to just plant out there. You know, maybe they did cross the tires. Joe Gibbs Racing wanted Kyle Busch to win the race, not Martin Truex Jr. Oh, okay. All of a sudden, it's true. No, I do not believe that. So Kyle Busch is a two-time champ. He's got this championship and that one kind of.
Yeah, and the half season he won.
Right, the half season. The Kyle Busch fan out there is furious.
Because of the half season?
Sorry,
no,
guys.
No, because of us crapping on Kyle.
That's.
Look, clearly
why,
the guy.
Why the hate for Kyle?
Because he's a little ornery.
He's a very talented person who just, you know, I don't know how to say it. Is like uncompliant to the norms of happiness. He's always giving a bad attitude, always negative, 9 out of 10 times, even though he's living the most amazing existence.
But he's a hell of a wheel, man.
Yeah, he can drive the wheels off a race car. Big time.
I mean,
no, he's as talented as anybody
else.
He's
probably the best driver out there right now.
If you think about it, look at these guys here. You know, Kevin Harvick, Martin Truex. Who is the most talented driver? It's got to be Kyle Busch, period. Jimmy Johnson's retirement, like that's, you know, now the mantle is handed to Kevin Harvick and Kyle Busch, the senior faces who are also the most talented.
Yeah, no, there's no denying it. Look, you know what? He did it. He hadn't won a race since, like, June. But he won the race that matters. He won the last race of the year, and now he's a champion.
He had a dominant early start to the season. He amassed a lot of playoff points. He used those playoff points to sneak through the rounds, coasting through while others won the races, and then he won the race that mattered, Super Bowl style. And that's a way to get through. And he's Kyle Busch. So it's not like the wrong guy won. That's it. Simple as that. And so where did the other championship fall? It was Truex. It was Kevin Harvick.
Hamlin was like 11th, maybe?
Hamlin 10th.
Oh, there you go. You see, look at that.
Jimmy Johnson 13th, et cetera, and so on. Was it fun? Did you have fun?
Yeah, it was a great time.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I'm feeling a little nostalgic thinking that that was the last final race and so
well,
forth.
I'm very disappointed, and I can tell you this. For the first time, I felt a little, you know, anger, animosity about losing this super big event to Phoenix. No offense, Phoenix and Lowe and Lowe family and all.
Yeah, because your race kind of sucked the week before,
but
too.
That's the thing is, like, this is a great race for the end of the race. Like, you could do hospitality to hospitality. There's Super Bowls in Phoenix, and there's Super Bowls in Miami. That's a touristy town. We're a touristy town. All of that stuff. Track to track, I think it's hands down Homestead's more exciting.
The racing is definitely more exciting. You don't hear the can't pass situation that happens at Phoenix. And it, definitely with the package that they're running now and they're going to be running next year, it could lead to a boring finale.
Well, we'll just see. We'll see.
But to be fair, you know, this year, you know, it was a little boring this year, too.
Yeah, it was a junky race.
It wasn't as great as, like, you know, prior champions.
Every other one prior the past couple of years since they banked the travel has been like, not only did Kyle's championship, but it was the least exciting of all the championships. It was the one that nobody cared about, Kyle's. It's horrible. You know what? You're horrible, G.
I am.
You are.
I know I'm not a good person. I have figured this out, you know,
a long time
in the last 9 years.
You know, though, like if you can't treat everybody exactly the same. Kyle has crafted his own personality.
No, that's it. That's but you know what? Base. I'm not gonna. The guy is probably the most talented driver in the circuit.
Let's talk about the fantasy league results. Final results. Oh, look who wins the final week. Dirty Hippies.
Oh, look at
they won
that.
The final week. Dirty Hippies. DRT 99 second. Double O Dead On third. Southern Racer X fourth with 328. Hockey Kid, Elephant Racers, Low Blinker Fluid, JJ Husker Fan, Smothered and Covered, Spider Monkey, Bulls Wool, and Keen Racing rounding out the top 10. Most points, Dirty Hippies. Biggest gainer, Dirt 99, 330, up four positions. Biggest loser, Fat Tire, 22, down five. The overall winner, the new 2019 WFO Fantasy League champ, Mr. Fantasy NASCAR, with 10,615 points, 21 points ahead of Patrick the Webmaster. Mr. Fantasy NASCAR got four wins over the course of the season. That was more than anybody else. He also had four top fives and 12 top tens. A very impressive number. Clearly a championship season, finishing ahead of Patrick the Webmaster. And Bulls Wool. Bulls Wool finishing third, 53 out. Smothered and Covered fourth, 81 out. Royal Flush Racing fifth, 91 out. And the last of the drivers. The entire top five were within 100 points. That's pretty good. It was close.
So everybody did make a run at him at the end. We congratulate you all, you know, first, second, and third place losers.
Yeah.
Man, he still came and beat you guys.
Thanks,
man.
Guys.
You know, we let this guy come in to our league and just
lay the smack
look at that
down
trophy.
On your
look
candy
at, and Mr. Fantasy NASCAR's name is going to be on that trophy
unbelievable.
Forever.
And
we're going to remember this forever.
Top billing on the new.
How do I know he's...
That's a pretty dope trophy, bro.
He's going to get his name on the top of the next...
Plate? Really? Top of the plate?
Yeah, unfortunately.
You deserve it, Playboy. You deserve it.
Yes, you do. Mr. Fantasy NASCAR, Chad Robb.
Mr. Fantasy NASCAR, you deserve it. You came. You
paying
conquered.
Tribute. He's going to be on the show, by the way. He's coming
not
on.
Today.
Not today. But in the near future after Thanksgiving. This is our Thanksgiving spectacular. Okay?
Oh,
we're going to have
right.
him on.
Thanksgiving, because you know all kinds of stuff is going on.
I don't know what's going on. But, yeah, his name's
going to
be on the
show. Well, all kinds of stuff's going to be going on because it's Thanksgiving, so you get a lot of...
There you go. Good job.
But you also get...
It ain't cool being no jive turkey so close to Thanksgiving.
Thank goodness.
Sure.
Now it's an official Thanksgiving show.
Sure.
So there you go. Okay, overall
no,
points.
Not yet.
What?
Four. Four.
That's right. Black Friday.
Now it's officially a Thanksgiving show.
Oh, my God. Black Friday is coming.
You know what I just realized?
You can avoid it by going to RodaxCoffeeandGrills.com.
That is Black Friday. Black Friday is going to be terrible, by the way.
Does anyone go out to Black Friday anymore?
No.
No, man. You just buy everything online in the droid, drop it off at your door.
Seriously. Is it Cyber Monday has killed Black Friday.
Listen, man.
Cyber Monday.
I don't want to shop with these regular people. Let me do it from the comfort of my own home.
Yeah, but you know what, though, Vlad? I'll tell you what. I figured this out last year when I was shopping for toys for the Gray. That, you know, you can go on Amazon all you want, but I couldn't find the thing that I liked. I just couldn't. I was out of ideas. And so I went out, I was driving aimlessly.
Time out. It's not about what you like. It's about what he likes.
What I would think he would like. But that's the thing. On Amazon, I couldn't find it. But I went out, and I saw this light, and I pulled into this place, and this place was amazing. They have, like, a whole bunch of toys there for you to choose from. You get to look at the toys and play the toys and read about the toys. It's cool. The place was called a store, and they build them, and they have stuff there. And I enjoyed it, and I bought a toy, and it was a super winner.
What month was that?
I don't know. It was December, like, 23rd, man.
Mm. How many people were at that store?
Lots. Not really. It's a giant superstore, Super Target.
December 23rd?
Yeah. I did shopping late last year. I'm going to try to get ahead of it this year.
Bro,
I'm getting way ahead.
The people are crazy right now. And we haven't even hit Black Friday. Once Black Friday hits, forget about it.
Four. Four.
That's what I love. That's what I love. Us men.
Yes.
We don't really go out shopping Black Friday.
No. Black Friday?
No way, man.
Crazy? No way. But I go shopping.
That's leftover Thanksgiving food. That's watching college football. Yeah.
Well, yeah, look, first of all, I avoid the stores at whatever time there is a lot of people there. I want to go either really early in the morning or late in the
morning,
right before they close.
Early in the morning shopping is the best shopping ever, bro.
You know, well, first of all, yeah, but there's no way I'm going to a store when it's all crowded.
Tuesday, Wednesday shopping, bro.
But as anybody that listens knows.
Agnes and Meredith, though, the only people I got to worry about.
Yes.
I totally prefer the box, the stores, the actual brick and mortar store, than you know going on the Amazon and having the droids come up to my house doing scary stuff.
You don't got to deal with parking.
I like going out. I like the adventure that the store provides. You know, people, things you have to navigate. Oh man! But I definitely don't want to be there when there's too many people there.
Yeah, I'm definitely not going around the crowded or the last couple of days before Christmas
weekends.
Or the first couple of days right after Thanksgiving. Oh yeah.
Okay, but I have been known to go out into the mess, into the chaos on purpose, just for a form of entertainment. That's what, because I don't get out into the chaos ever, so I only by choice. There are a lot of traffic. You know, I'm never going to go out and fight traffic for fun.
some of us have to drive in that crap.
But if you've already done your shopping, you're right. You know,
like I'll hit the Macy's for the holidays. I'll go in there. Yeah, it's part of my thing. Well, we got you know, me and my good friend Paulie the White Guy have Joe and Paul go to the mall. It's a seasonal thing. Maybe you have to get something.
Like, that's the time I try to avoid Panther games.
Oh, yeah. Holiday Panther games get really
everything. The worst.
So there you go. We have our Fantasy League results. Formula One. I was just watching a thing about Lewis Hamilton.
The great.
And I thought, this is amazing. And it was from 2017. And he's advanced that much more.
Right, you thought they were, these are
great. He had 60 Grand Prix wins, and they're like, this guy's like the most amazing, 60 Grand Prix wins. And now he's going to pass Michael Schumacher next year.
I was just about to ask you that. So is he better than Schumacher?
Not yet.
Until he passes him?
Yeah, I think that's the tell.
Come on,
that's how we keep track of these things. When he gets more than 91, because Michael had retired. Michael ran out his whole career.
Who had better competition?
I think Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah.
Different era. It's hard to compare.
It's hard
to
compare.
Hard
race
to compare.
Cars era, you know?
Hard to
look,
compare.
Look, you know, Richard Petty got 200 wins. It was a different era.
They raced more for Richard Petty. But Lewis Hamilton, they were running about the same amount of races. Yeah. No, it's incredible.
Lewis is just, he's something else, man. And, you know, never been my favorite driver, and he never drove for our team. But the guy's unbelievable.
Really, he is. And people who listen to the show on a regular basis, WFO, they're subscribed. When we get on the subject, it just always goes the same way. Like, you can't hate on the guy. There's really nothing there. The guy is a great, unbelievable athlete. He's won another world championship. He's got an assault on the record books going on right now. His fellow drivers all love him. They all love him. Nobody hates him. He's got no rivalries going on publicly.
Say the right thing when another driver's being questioned, anything. You know, came to Sebastian's defense on multiple occasions.
I just saw him on the 2017 with Real Sports Guy, Gumbel. And they were hanging out. And Lewis Hamilton was so great about his brother. You know, he's got a problem, cerebral palsy.
Right.
But just they showed their relationship. It was really interesting. But there's one more race, and I guess it's this weekend, Abu Dhabi. You know, a lot of the NHRA folks are in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, that's pretty close.
For like a big, it's both the, you know, Middle Eastern area. It's not Southeastern Middle Eastern, but it's Middle Eastern Middle
right,
Eastern.
Right, yeah.
Right. Yeah, they're all over there. Well, let me tell you, if I was one of those dudes, and I was in Saudi Arabia the week before the final Formula One race in Abu Dhabi, I don't know, I might figure out how to go. Right? Isn't that just like a short flight? Little puddle jumper? Take a chalks? Saudi Arabia I don't know where. Specifically,
Abu Dhabi is United Arab Emirates.
Right,
so,
it's like one country over.
You know, I gotta tell you, I'm not 100% up on my what is that Middle Eastern geography.
I can circle the area on the globe,
but I believe, yeah, I don't even know that they're one country over. I think UAE borders Saudi Arabia.
So there you go. You're looking for a flight from Riyadh to Abu Dhabi. Punch that one in. Yeah.
Oh, all right. So Riyadh to Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, Riyadh, Saudi Arabia.
And I'm going to assume that Riyadh is spelled in some weird way, like with an Y and an H. And right. And letters, and nothing that I can ever figure.
But now, of course, you're going to go up on the anti-terrorism watch list.
To Dubai. Here you go. Riyadh to Dubai. Oh, look at that. Cheaply. It's only a couple hundred bucks. And, oh, well, how is this? Is this a drive or is this a flight? It's, and look at these guys. It's 1,000 kilometers, 855 hours.
Piece
so I assume
of cake.
That's a drive. So what is it? Oh, you people. Why don't you just tell me in American, how many miles is that?
Do the conversion now.
Well, because it's not actually 1,000. It's 996 point something. But either way, yes.
And?
What?
1 kilometer equals 0.62 mile, so.
It's 618 miles.
That's the flight? That's nothing.
Yeah.
It's a piece of cake.
There you go. It's like, sure. It's closer than Atlanta.
I told you. Yeah,
it's
that's
closer
like,
than flying from Miami to Atlanta.
Yeah, Miami to Charlotte area. Interesting, because I do about 600 miles. And there you go. That's almost a must-do if you're there and that close and have the time and the means. But that would be interesting. And so just like that, Formula One 2019 will be over. Kind of weird having Formula One go last, right? Isn't that out of the ordinary? Normally,
it feels
NASCAR
like, yeah, like,
is last.
Like if it's different, but, you know, I could be misremembering.
Very possible. So interesting. Any other racing stuff? Let's talk Penske buying IndyCar and everything. My observation.
He might as well. He's always owned Indy.
We might have discussed this at some point.
I think we did over the.
But not the purchase, maybe? I don't know. But I just want to go on the record as saying, I think it's great. I think it's great. What we have seen in everything is that energy needs to be replenished, right? You got to just replenish the energy sometimes. And it might be different people. It might be selling. It might be who knows what it is. But you've got to replenish the energy, wherever it is, like the steakhouse that's been in your, you know, that you've been going to and they just kind of do the same thing and trail off. You got to do something new and fresh every once in a while. And I think Roger Penske buying the deal, the family's out, they're done. Roger Penske, the thing about Penske is old.
But, yeah, he's 82 years old. Wow.
So what is, like, I've been saying this a lot lately, that 60 is the new 40. Is 80 the new 60?
No, not in my opinion. But
I think it is because look at all.
80.
Yeah, no, man. 80's
Big
80,
Dave
man.
Lemon from Poker Action Line was just telling me about this 80-year-old billionaire that just bought Treasure Island and Circus Circus, and this guy's in there making all kinds of moves. When you're 80 years old, what are you buying anything for? This is why you're buying anything for your legacy,
kids, family.
I don't know. I think Roger Penske has taken on a burden with this. Not a burden, is a challenge.
Maybe some sort of challenge or something, but. I don't want to get into it too much, but yes, I don't have a problem with Roger Penske at 82 owning Indy, but
it just seems like a big bold move to make after 80. That's all.
But he is still the head of a giant racing empire and a businessman and so forth.
We
so
often talk about ageism and
the other thing that we also don't know is he really like running day to day operations over there? You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure he's got people that take care of things, and he's just like the owner. I don't think that he's sitting in front of a desk every day being the one that's making every decision, or at least I don't know that that's the fact, that he's actually right there, like, hands-on, everyday CEO of the company.
But big corporations have boards. But I'm not suggesting that Roger Penske is anything other than razor-sharp, amazing American CEO. And everything I've heard, remember that story I relayed about Rick Hendrick and Roger Penske, those guys on the plane, sat next to two guys that work in a related field, and they were talking about the Christmas parties, and that Rick Hendrick would spend time before every Christmas party learning the names of all the key employees' spouses, you know, everybody's spouse, right? And that he knew he would learn every single spouse's name. The guys were like, yeah, man, it's amazing, and what commitment, and blah, 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 blah. And then they talked about Roger Penske, and then were like, yeah, but Penske just knows them. Like, automatic, you know, he would know the spouse's names without going through flashcards. It's just part of his MO. And I found that to be cool. I think it's great. I think it's interesting. I'm excited about how Roger Penske is going to Penskeify IndyCar. What will be different? What will be the same? What will they do? Will they introduce new money? Will they come up with something creative? Will they not? You know, that's to me, that's what's interesting. New energy. put into IndyCar. So that'll be cool. Good job, Ry. I wish him luck. I hope he, you know,
absolutely
does something spectacular with it. And that's the kind of thing that, you know, in our own Miami Dolphins, we're hoping for, right? I guess we can transition to Sports Collision. Did you have any opinion on Steve face-palming the guy? What'd you call it? Shunting him?
Snuffing.
Snuffing.
Snuff, man.
Snuffing. Like snuffing that guy out. He snuffed that guy.
Right, what, yeah.
No, Cam,
you're like,
listen,
snuffed him out.
Like I said, getting back to this. I know both of these guys, so it's interesting. So having an opinion, it's like you got to talk to the person.
I didn't think it was
a
big deal. Like, I felt like we see this
all the time.
All the time across sports. We see it in NASCAR recently. We've seen Joey Logano.
I was way worse when that guy whipped
him
to the ground. He did get suspended.
We saw it in the NFL just the other day. A player lost his mind and grabbed another guy by the helmet and took it off and swung it at him and actually hit him in the head with it.
People freaked out about that one. Speaking of outrage, people did get outraged about that one. And
But nobody was calling on Cleveland to forfeit the game.
Right. Because it is a team sport. And that was my argument. Man, you're going to take money away from every one of these guys.
They're
no longer a champion because their
driver
did something silly.
That's not even the more relevant, their championship money or earnings or that. The reality is that it's not like he ran across the center line and crashed into the guy into the wall or anything like that. This didn't happen on track.
Right.
This is something that happened in the back, and this is how racing got famous across many different forms of racing, like Daytona.
So merge those 2 points. Cale Yarborough swung his helmet at Donnie Allison.
Yeah, but he missed.
He kind of missed.
He didn't hit him in the head.
He did not hit him in the head. But isn't that interesting,
Miles
though?
Garrett hit him. He caught Mason Rudolph, man. He caught him a little bit. Bro.
No, he got him pretty good, but he hit him with the open end of the helmet, fortunately. Like the part that goes in your head, not with the crown of the helmet or also, you know, who knows.
Amazing.
But I didn't think that. Mind you, I thought that was great, and it's good for you know, getting people watching and getting people talking about it. But I definitely didn't think that it was, you know, I don't know, I didn't think it was worth all the, you know, the hoopla. It's also a byproduct of the Twitter era where, you know, imagine I saw something happened a couple of days ago, which was the Malice in the Palace was the fight at the NBA in Detroit between the Pistons and the Pacers. It was like a week ago, right?
Yeah.
That's why. And I saw it online. And I thought to myself real quick, wow, can you imagine the madness that people would have been, you know, spewing if we had Twitter 15 years ago when that happened?
What is that, the Ron Artest up into the –
Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
Yes, Malice
at the Palace.
Yeah. You
know, I think I watched that game. Is that possible? I watched that game live?
It is possible.
It was a Friday night.
Because it was like a big – you know, right, the night game.
I was watching that game.
Yes.
That was crazy.
I always liked the reference. I heard Steven Jackson, who was a teammate of Ron Artest at the time, in an interview.
Oh, excuse me, Metal World Peace.
Sorry, yes. No, but he's just Ron Artest.
But this is the funniest.
But Steven Jackson's doing an interview, and he's talking. They asked him about that, and he said that in the locker room afterwards, they're there, you know, bloodied, and he's got blood going from his knees and that Ron, he's like, Ron comes up and he's like, so Steve, you think we're going to get in trouble for this? And he looked at him, he's like,
Ron, we probably might lose our jobs.
He goes, Ron, we'll be lucky if we don't get kicked out of the league for this.
Yeah.
And it was just funny because I just thought that the thought process of, so you think we're going to get in trouble for this?
Well, we are, though. We are. Like, people are getting outraged by lesser things.
We live in such a sensitive time.
Well,
that was nothing. Listen, the guy was going through some stuff, bro. You could tell. Steve was going through some stuff. Like, come on, man. He had a lot on his plate. He wanted to win. He's in a championship drive. He's in a championship competition, and he's trying to win it. It's not like there's a special meaning for winning this title. You know? This is not winning just a regular title. This title means a little bit much. So you don't want to.
It's the second one. It really, you know how it was.
Totally
different
than winning
the
first.
Second championship. That there's no denying now. You can't back into a second championship.
Nope.
Right. And he also said that, I mean, it was personal for him also. So I'm not going to knock him for that. You know, he doesn't want. Dude, your mind is focused on winning and, you know, you got that championship focus. You don't want no kid. I mean, even though you're allowed to do whatever you want, but you know, if he's pulling some antics, you know, you could let him. You could say whatever you want. Now,
well,
I like to have a microphone to hear the what was said in
yeah,
the banter.
Yeah, I would too. I've had people allude to it, but I've only heard some ideas
got,
of what it was.
What's his name, Cameron?
Yeah.
If Cameron got jerky with Steve, I'm sorry. And I'm going to snuff you.
Right. Look, and that's it right there. That in the end, no, there wasn't really, you know, we don't have any knowledge of what was said back and forth. And it could have just been as simple as that. He said the right thing to bother Steve at that moment.
Everybody
and he was just like,
words,
you know what?
Everybody has words and antics right. that will touch a nerve and that will make a lot to, will cause you to react. And he did apologize afterwards.
And the other thing is, yes, look, none of us condone this kind of behavior in
general.
I don't
want
we don't want to have to, you know.
Snuffing somebody.
We snuffing. Right, well, you know, it's just that, look, in the real world, it's dangerous to just put your hands on somebody and physically assault them because it could be a problem. But, you know, when we're in sports or in other venues that you are in a highly emotional state, it's understood that these people sometimes in this process of walking that fine line between sportsmanship and emotion and all this heated rivalry and stuff, sometimes things can happen and you might lose your cool for a split second, but it doesn't mean that you're, you know, a terrible person or that you're like this all the time.
Right. But what about it's penal just, code X25 of the California Board of Regulation?
Yeah, well, if he was walking down the street and decided to punch somebody in the face, that would be appropriate.
Is snuffing someone technically that though? I don't know, man. You're not allowed to put your hands on anybody at all.
Technically, any
but he didn't punch him.
No, he didn't.
He open-handed him. He open-palmed
again, look,
him.
If you could slap somebody with the palm of your hand, and it's a slap.
But even that's why I say it's a snuff, because a slap where you hear a noise.
Right. No,
the
no.
Snuff is somebody you just, it's
again,
a mush. It's like
yes,
a mush.
Look, but he put
he
his
really
hands on
him.
The guy's face, and he
yes,
assaulted
that's
him.
That's the thing.
Any
it
way you put it, it's technically assault.
I mean, it's an assault, but you know.
But I'm not going to get crazy and say that any time that two athletes –
well,
in
they fined
the
him $25K. You guys know that. Like, that's the
I
thing.
Did
is
not
they got fined $25K.
But you know what?
Yeah.
That's not inappropriate. That's all
right.
Right.
I kind of knew that has to happen. There has to be some sort of signal from
that.
The sanctioning body that, hey, we're not, you know, we don't want our players doing this.
Agreed. Well, it's just that. Like, yes, we don't want to necessarily want you guys fighting it up every week on TV because then we're going to, you know, it's going to be all these are just the people that fight on TV every week. Then you become wrestling.
Right.
But
Vlad was saying, and
once
I
in a while for two drivers to get heated, that's good for business, in my opinion.
I agree.
It's good.
I
sells
agree.
The sport.
This thing is the best thing that's happened. Let's be honest
come
here.
Come on, me.
This is one of the best things that's happened, like action character-wise.
Listen.
Two characters get together. They've got a moment. Something happened. And then one of the characters goes on to win the world championship.
Listen,
it's like,
and
oh,
he won
right.
the title. That's this. Listen, this happened, a couple of weeks ago, right?
Last weekend,
right?
Today is Monday. It was the previous Sunday.
Yeah, it was a week ago yesterday.
And we're still talking about drag racing, and not just
ago.
Me, other
and,
people.
And I'm a French fan. And now I'm watching, and that's what you need. You need that's how you get fringe fans to watch, and then they become regular fans.
Right. What's Steve Torrance going to do next? Who's
yeah.
he going to snuff next?
Who's he going to? Yeah, because he's not about
but
that.
But he's not going to snuff anybody. It's
but
just
you don't know,
gonna...
though. You don't know. They're going to get heated at a time, and then he's going to get heated, and if he gets in somebody's face, we're going to be like, oh, Steve, you're going to snuff
by
him
way,
again?
Go, maybe
Steve,
he
going to snuff yeah. him again.
And not only that, but maybe in one of those things, you know, Steve should just say, hey, watch out or else you might get forayed again or whatever. Foray?
Right.
What was that?
Oh, poor Cam. But yeah.
Sorry, Cam.
Yes.
That's the kind of guy I am.
Yes.
Sorry.
But, well, that's the thing. Like, imagine being
like,
free.
Like you got mossed?
Imagine being
oh
free
gosh.
of.
You got torrents.
Right. You see?
You got torrents.
Exactly. Well, that's the thing. Imagine being free of knowing these people, like not knowing them will be so much better because then you could just, you know, pile into this thing thinking pure entertainment without having to worry about that. It's interesting the way, you know, like watching stuff works. Like you just want to be entertained. And that, I think, was entertaining. It's like it was something that people would find interesting and out of the ordinary. The next time they race... Man, that's going to be... Now, Steve has apologized. Like, gone way out of his way. He's got,
but,
I got junior
wait a
dragster
minute.
Kids
hold up,
that
hold up.
Watch
I'm sorry,
me,
I'm
et cetera,
sorry.
And so on.
But wait a minute. Wait a minute. The kid with the camera was funny, too. He said he's going to go to his neighbor, Tito Ortiz, to help him beat up Steve. That was funny.
He did say that his neighbor was Tito Ortiz.
That's the guy, right?
So you know what? I think Tito Ortiz needs to show up to the track.
There you go.
And pick Steve up and do a helicopter spin. Like, that would be really entertaining.
Now, that's next level.
That's some next level stuff.
I think that can be arranged. Like, that's the kind of business we all need to be in now, is start really thinking about it. All right. So, everything has been very positive. We had a great time. We talked about the fight. That was it. We drove down on that. We talked about, the violence in sports and how negative it is. But this past weekend, our University of Miami Hurricanes, outside of South Florida, you can laugh, experienced the worst defeat ever in the history of the program.
In our lifetime. Stop playing with that thing.
Yeah, man. We can hear you playing.
I'm sorry.
I'm just trying
to fix it.
Very upsetting. No, it's okay.
And the headset, too.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Brutal.
Yeah. I had said that it was maybe the worst loss ever. I don't know exactly, because
it's subjective, man.
Has been around for like 100 years, but it's definitely the worst loss in our lifetime. And when I say worse, it's not, you know, we've lost by a bigger margin, but losing to, FIU is a mid-major now at best.
FIU is the other local college that when I was in high school,
they
FIU
didn't even
people
have
go,
a football
no,
team.
No, people
when we
would
were
go
in
to
school.
FIU because they weren't going to go away to UF, or they wanted to stay in town and go to a 4-year university. Was it always
it's
a 4-year? Was
yeah,
it
no,
2-year?
It's always been a state school
for a little while.
Yeah, no, it's a university. It's always University of Florida International University.
Yeah,
right. The college is the 2-year
Florida International. Yes,
right. And it's always been, but they didn't even have a football program when we were that age. The
no.
football program's got to be, 10, 15 years old at most. It's fairly young. And they're the kid brother at best. And the University of Miami should not lose to FIU if they were playing 10-on-11.
Yes.
Like,
right.
Really? Like, that's exactly it.
And
now, while FIU is a much larger university in terms of enrollment, because it's a state school, you know, UM is a Division I team that has 5 national championships and recruits blue chip, 5-star players. FIU doesn't get any of those guys.
Not anymore.
They've had one guy, T.Y. Hilton, in their history that went to the NFL, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's the only guy that you would recognize
famous
as a star.
Yeah, that became a star.
But it was just, embarrassing.
FIU whooped UM's ass.
On the site of the Orange Bowl, which was the...
To be that ill-prepared is really an embarrassment and unacceptable.
It's terrible, bro.
And it paints a very bad picture of the coaching situation, at least in my opinion.
Fire Manny Diaz.
I wouldn't go that far.
Fly the plane.
But it makes you wonder, did they make the right choice? Because... Now here we have 3 instances this year where after coming off the bye week, they just weren't ready to play and got whooped 3 times.
Outplayed, outcoached, everything. Butch came back and stuck it to his former
team. And that's on top of that. FIU, those of you that don't know, is coached by Butch Davis, who used to be the coach of the University of Miami when he returned them to their late 80s, early 90s prominence at the end of the 90s. It was an overall very disappointing situation for anyone that's a Hurricane fan. But maybe it's for the best. And,
Whether it's for the best or not for the best, it is what it is. It's unfortunate, the state of football. He caught that.
Yeah, he did.
He caught that. In the South Florida area is not good.
It's sad.
But it is what it is. Now, Vlad, you have an interesting take on the turnover chain.
Oh, yeah.
That this is the jinx of the turnover chain. I think you can, this is interesting. Because we talked about the turnover chain
a lot,
and yeah, you call it the jinx of the turnover chain.
I don't like it. I don't like what it's trying to represent, man. The allure that it's trying to give. It's almost like you're trying to get a certain type of...
Materialistic.
Certain type of materialistic item, but you're trying to captivate the attention of certain people like that. You know what I'm saying? So you really, it's like you're really looking for the kids in the hood or the kids that, that really love the, I mean, even though it's a Miami thing, it's a Miami chain, but come on, man. Like, it was cool for the defense. All right, that's cool. But then when they came out with the offensive touchdown.
That's all right. They never used those anyway.
Yeah, they never came out.
But when they did, and it was just like, oh, you know what I'm saying?
No, then, no, I know.
To me, it was just like, come on. That's I don't like it. I don't like what it's trying to
You don't hear
represent.
That a lot. That's
like what it tries to what it represents.
That is an against the grain opinion, but I respect it because I got to tell you, like I got caught up in the turnover chain, and I like the turnover chain. I get it. But I also do notice elements around the turnover chain that are a lot now.
And it's almost, and I'm sorry to cut you off, but it's almost like if you notice when we were going to the games and you see who's like rocking a turnover chain and everything like that, it's not even like, you know. It was more
like what
Caucasian.
What kind of a person buys a turnover chain?
Mr. T.
Yes.
That's like a Mrs. T startup.
What
kit.
Kind of a person, but, Gio, what kind of a person buys the turnover chain?
Somebody's got $30.
Look, now, it's a fun thing.
The other thing that I would say is that it's almost like one of those things where it's just that every year they have to come out with a newer one and top it off. Like, it might have just been one of those things where they should have just put it away after the first year.
Like, one season
and
long
thing. And
that's
it, right. Like, it was a season long thing.
And you got to win.
Yeah,
and
it would
the
be
most
great
important.
Turning over the, you know, yeah. Getting turnovers and winning games.
Having a gimmick is not cool when you're like 6-5.
Right.
Right?
It's like Thanksgiving is no time to be a jive turkey.
Yeah, yeah.
Go shop at Black Friday.
It ain't cool being no jive turkey so close to Thanksgiving.
And doesn't that just say it all?
Because Karate Man bleed on the inside.
Speaking of that, the NASCAR Awards Banquet will be December 5th, and Eddie Murphy is back, guys. Eddie Murphy
Dolomite?
Is back.
Dolomite.
I have not seen Dolomite.
Good movie.
I saw some highlights. It looks good. I am getting ready to get in on my shows, man. I'm going to get my shows on. I want to see the Eddie stuff. I want to see Dolomite. I want to see all the stuff that I haven't been seeing at all. I'm watching it all. I'm just checking it all out.
All right. I need feedback from those of you Star Wars fans out there that have the Disney Plus. So
I love it.
Lo and Rich and Saugus.
I hung out with Rich
and
Saugus.
What's up with The Mandalorian? What do you think?
Everybody loves it. What are you talking about?
You haven't seen it, so you have no opinion.
I don't even have to see it. Everyone says it's amazing and it's so great and it's the best thing ever.
And so,
do you agree with that?
I've seen the two episodes. There's a third one that came out Friday, but I have been extremely busy and haven't been able to watch it.
Wow.
Since Friday. Well, it dropped on Friday
while I was at work. Is it great?
Yes, I think it's great. Wow. I think it's great.
You've seen Mandalorian?
Those of you that...
I'm behind you guys?
In the Star Wars timeline.
I got the Disney Plus, bro.
Yeah. Doesn't everybody?
Plus, I don't.
Oh, man.
What's wrong with this guy?
But who wants to talk about Amazon Man in the High Castle with me?
Huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
How come I'm watching shows that nobody's watching?
Well, that should tell you something, my friend.
No, I want to buy Disney stock. Are you kidding me? I'm not advising people to buy a Disney
stock.
Knock
on wood if you're with me.
Right.
I don't know.
But how can it not go up to incredible amounts? They have Star Wars. They have Avengers. They now have a way to broadcast into every American's home. They have the parks. They got Galaxy's Edge.
Bro.
Like, come on. No wonder that thing is up
big. All the ladies, all the girls right now are able to watch their favorite Disney movies, and they get sucked in. And this is the perfect time to get it because it's the holiday season. You have a long weekend. Everybody's by 2 p.m. on Wednesday, everybody's off.
Yeah.
And if you have if you want to eat.
Stressing me out for tomorrow. I got a lot to get done.
If you want to cook and you want to cook in peace and you got kids, you just put on these Disney movies. You got Disney Plus. You put on those movies. Those kids won't bother you for the rest
screen
of the
time. More screen time for the kids.
Yeah, that's
get
all
on
they
there.
Need. Give them an iPad. Give them the TV.
Give them an iPad, Nintendo Switch. TV. That's it. You're good.
Let Walt Disney raise them. No, I can tell this is a big
Eisner?
Thing. This is a big, big thing. So you like The Mandalorian then?
I do. That's so far,
good.
So good.
Well, what's the story? What is it? It's not Boba Fett. What is it?
No, it's not Boba Fett. Boba Fett's dead. It's like one of those Boba Fett type people. He's a Mandalorian. That's Boba Fett's, I guess, ethnicity or
race.
Whatever. There you go, race.
Right.
Thank you.
He's a Mandalorian. And so it's bounty hunter stories?
You got to watch it,
all
man.
Right,
I don't want to give anything
away.
It's quick.
They're
about 30, 35 minutes each.
Don't give it away. Oh, really?
Yeah,
30
yeah. It's quick and painless.
Interesting. I was
a little surprised because I don't know how, you know, I'm not a big Netflix person, but from what I understood, they when they drop a show, they just drop all of them.
What?
And so I was expecting to be able to just stay there and watch the whole night all the Mandalorian episodes. Nice. You know, it comes out one every week. Yeah. It's what it is.
Yeah, they suck you in like a TV show.
Oh, I don't like that. That's terrible. Right. Boo.
So no, that's why there's only three so far.
No. But here's the thing. A lot of these apps are going to start doing that because they want people to have
the engagement. You got
the engagement. Yeah, they want people to be.
I don't know if I like that.
Yeah.
No, that's why. So I was a little disappointed.
So they're already killing binge watching.
Yeah, they're trying to kill binge.
They're trying
watching.
To kill binge. Like, I was laughing at you because you didn't understand the concept of the binge
what
watching.
What do you mean? I thought, yeah.
Well, the binge watching is not good for productivity, but it's definitely fun to do.
No, of course, yeah.
But they're putting the brakes on it. Mickey Mouse.
Eisner?
Yeah.
Put the brakes on that binge watching. Eisner?
No, Netflix was starting that too. Netflix was also
really?
Starting that.
I did not know that.
Yeah, Netflix was also.
Well, I thought the mouse was yelling at Iger. I said, like Netflix, everything drops at once. Yeah. But no, it didn't happen that way.
Right.
And so,
I like everything drops at once. So I'm watching Man in High Castle, which nobody else watches
but
me.
Yeah, I know, man. That's,
but
that's
it
the
is
one
an amazing mind bending twister.
If the Germans won World War II,
Germans and Japanese.
Yeah, no.
And it's the fourth and final season. Why? Because
it's too unrealistic to me.
It's in another dimension. It's what happening in another dimension.
That's some kind of weird bizarro world.
It is. Well, the Nazis have built a doorway into our dimension, and they're coming here to get us. And it was actually very scary.
So it's like a time travel story too?
No time travel.
Oh, okay.
Dimensional travel in the same time.
Huh?
Yeah, that's the thing, man. Everybody thinks
it sounds like science fiction now.
It is. It's science fiction.
It was originally just like a revisionist history, and now it's science fiction.
Well, I guess the first season, they didn't really know what they were going to do with it. I don't understand. This is a book, right? Just like everything, it's a book. But the Nazis and the Japanese in the dimension that the show is on, they won the war, and that's the world they're showing. Look at Vlad, he's struggling here. It's too late. I don't have that reaction time. He snaps it off.
You got to ride the mic. You see, that's the wrong one.
You don't have a cough button, Joe?
Yeah, it's him over there.
Are
he needs
serious?
To be riding the mic.
Do I have cough
he's
buttons
just not,
for all the
you
guests?
Know what? He's not accustomed to having guests. You see? You turn off the
look
wrong
at that.
One,
I know exactly. No, I didn't. I turned off the right one. I turned off the.
Obviously not, because Vlad's still coughing into a mic, and I'm not talking.
You are coughing just out of control.
You know these sick people. Dude, he's bringing sickness and frailty.
I'm not bringing sickness.
Hold on.
You know Joe's going to get sick
stop
just by
joking.
Thinking that you're sick.
Vlad.
Yeah?
Are you bringing sickness into the studio?
No,
seriously.
Ladies and gentlemen,
aside,
you have to see. I should be
yes.
documenting this.
Take
you
a
have
photograph
to see Joe's
so we
picture.
Can let the listeners vote
so you
on
can
whether
see,
Vlad is sick.
Well, Vlad does, you know, kind of look a little ill.
Now
with,
that you mentioned
he's wearing
it.
A hoodie and it's like 1,000 degrees in here.
Vlad.
No, wait a minute. Time out.
Yes.
The AC was on before.
Yeah, well, that's Joe's trick. He'll put the AC on when the show starts.
Vlad.
And you're actually a little bit cold. And all that, and then all of a sudden, the heat is coming out.
Wait a minute, what was going on with that?
We didn't get, there's no heat coming out. It's on air conditioning.
No, it's hot.
It's set on 73 degrees.
Reprogram. You can say whatever you want.
But it's hot right now.
Can we go turn the heater down a little bit? Because I'm hot too.
No, like, I'm literally, the only reason why I had it on was because that AC was blowing right behind, like, right on my back.
So you're cold and you're hot.
No,
it was.
I'm hot now because of.
Vlad, you never answered the question.
I'm not sick.
It's Joe's M.O.
Sure?
He puts the air on super cold, but then it's off. I bet you if we go out there right now, it's like off. Like OFF. Like
all right,
if there was nobody home.
Time out. Wait, Joe. Because right before the show started, he says, I'm going to put on the AC on right now.
I put it down to 72.
Okay, it's not on now, dude.
When you put it on, it was a big gust of like, it was like, oh, breeze. I'm like, oh, wow, my back of my neck. I was like, oh, let me put the hoodie on.
I'm finding it hard to believe that you don't understand how an air conditioner works. It has
I know
met
exactly
the
how it
72
works.
Degree limit that we put on it.
It's a little
yeah,
hard.
Yeah,
and in here, because we have all this electronic equipment and
I get it.
Insulation but on the walls, you happen to be a little hot. Plus, you're all animated. You're happy Vlad's here.
Oh, yeah, Vlad's got me all hot under the collar. Yeah, that's it, you know. Can we He's move not on? My type.
Can we move on, please? Can we move on?
I don't like old people.
Joe's the worst.
I like him young.
Exactly. Can we agree that you are not sick?
This is terrible.
That is the you're not sick.
No,
I'm glad I got that confirmation. Thank you. And Gio, good job calling him out on it because he did look a little questionable.
He did.
And
no,
we
no,
know,
he didn't.
Like, you can't. Can't bring sickness
on.
And can't
you
bring
can't
sickness
even pretend
into the
to be sick near Joe.
No,
because he
that was
sick.
Serious. Things got serious on the show
like,
here
yeah,
for
no,
a few
wait,
minutes.
He's got a weak immune
You're all
system?
Right, Vlad. No, I just don't like to even deal with it. I don't like to be around the sick people.
Yeah.
Because then they will get me sick, inevitably.
Frailty, thy name is
well,
Costello.
Well, you say that, but I haven't been sick for a long time. I've had a good year. I've had a great year with all the
There's
travel.
Like one person in the audience that got that reference.
But they love it, though. They think it's funny. All right, any final thoughts? Do we have anything else we want to put out there? Great books that you guys have read.
Great books.
I'm kidding.
I read a great book.
Which is what?
Gridiron Genius.
TV Guide?
By Mike Lombardi.
Really?
TV yeah. Guide. If yeah. I want to, I don't read much.
Gridiron Genius?
Yeah.
And?
I thought it was a great piece. Lombardi has worked with a lot of great coaches over the years. He started off as assistant to Bill Walsh. He worked for the great Bill Belichick.
And what were the takeaways?
Well, if you want, I could give you what do you call the Cliff Notes.
Yeah.
I highlighted some stuff that interested me and so forth.
Excellent.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Is it offensively minded? Is it defensively minded? What
is it? It's actually a book about leadership in general, and it really it could be read as not necessarily have to do with sports at all. You know, get people in business or anyone that, you know, like in a managerial, you know, like a head of industry position.
Right.
Would take a lot from reading this book.
Wow, that's wonderful.
Yeah. Good team building stuff.
Team building.
Yeah, team building.
Excellent. I would love to hear some specific examples.
Well, I'll bring the book and I'll give you, you know, now that it's off season stuff, we're going to have, you know, days that we have time to fill.
Plenty of time.
And
Plenty
so I will be happy to bring in.
What should the off season subject of the year be? You know,
that's a great question.
Right, because we've been covering just about everything the past couple of years.
Well, I'm sure we'll get scared by some aliens. New, you know, the latest technology in drone, you know.
Well, that pack of dogs that they had was pretty scary.
Yeah, I don't know.
Did you see that one, Vlad? A pack of dogs that are
Somebody
robots?
Sent me a video of the robot with the gun.
That was when I sent you that. What'd you think of that?
Oh, yeah, I don't need to see that stuff, man.
No, if I see it, you have to see it.
Why?
Cause it's scary
yeah,
as hell.
Is, yeah, not good. Vlad, we've all seen this movie, and it doesn't end well for the humans.
This is
it
one of the things that we on WFO Ignition we covered like 6 years ago, 5 years ago, and we just kind of stay on it, like the robots
advancing.
Well,
we went to that DARPA thing.
Yes.
Remember?
Yes. Yes, we went to a DARPA thing, and we were not afraid because they were slow.
Yeah.
And not.
But believe
me,
just like that flip phone turned into an iPhone. Well, those slow robots that couldn't do anything, now they're doing somersaults.
The one I sent him with the pistol in its hand.
Yeah, that was a little scary, man.
Was that fake?
It's got to be fake. But is it really? And even if it's not fake, yeah, well, that's the evolution of what they're going to do. They're going to arm them. You don't believe that those guys that over there, you know, what, defense contractors, what are they,
This guy was, you know, basically fighting this robot, and it's standing up, and it's just kind of moving left and right, basic moves, but it kept that pistol right in your face, and he would kick it away, and it would come right back. It was horrible. And then there was the other one, which made these dogs, and now the dogs, like, roam in a pack, and there was a whole bunch of them, and they're all doing the same thing. To watch the evolution of the robots over just the duration of this stupid podcast.
Yeah, I don't believe for one second that Boston Dynamics isn't sending those over to, like, you know, what is Lockheed or Northrop Gunman or, you know,
right.
General Dynamics or any of those dudes that do all the military stuff. All right, they got a whole army of those guys. They, you know, the clone army.
There is definitely someone buying these robots for definitely. Like, maybe we don't get to know
Not
them.
Not everybody's got good intentions.
Yeah.
It's just that simple. You know, everybody can't be as nice and joyful as I am.
Yeah, you're a very positive person.
Yeah, very
you're
positive.
Jovial.
Always peaceful and never angry.
You're so jovial.
I wrote a... No, this is not it. This is not it. This is the one that we saw. Where was that I sent you? Gun-wielding robot. This is Russian, by the way, of course.
I'm going to tell you something, Joe.
Yeah.
It's radio, so you planned it. You can't visually see it.
No, but the video of the robot fighting the guy shooting the pistol, you would have loved it. But okay. I don't know where that video was. Yeah, but they're coming soon. What else? Is that it? Are we done?
I think that's it.
I think we're out of material.
What else we got?
The Thanksgiving bonus show has been great. Don't forget NHRA Nitro, Alan Reinhart, Jed Coughlin, hopefully, Gianna Salinas, definitely, and Fast Jack Beckman giving his opinions on everything that happened. Yeah, we've knocked everything out. You know, the NHRA awards ceremony, I was there. It was fun. I got to present Pro Stock Motorcycle. It's NHRA prom. Everybody gets dressed up in tuxes.
Joe was in a tux.
I went
like a penguin.
I saw a picture of him.
It wasn't black.
No, it was like an off color. It was like a purplish white color, maybe.
I was like,
and it had like a leather look or something. What was that? It had like texture.
It had texture. Yes,
right.
I picked
all that up in the picture.
Was it a rental?
Of course, they're all rentals. Yes, I went to Carducci.
He did look good.
I went to Carducci, and I got there on Tuesday because I got in early, and I landed so early. I said to myself, I said, "Self, if you can go to Carducci, you should go to Carducci immediately." And I did, and I went to Carducci, and he says, "You need to use this." And I was like, "Hey, man, I like to do Frank Sinatra, black. You know, it's typical." The way you always go, classic, black. And he's like, "No, man, if you're going to be on stage, you got to do this. Just let me do my thing." And so when he said that, I said, "Well, if you're going to say that, then okay, do your thing." And so he gave me that tux, I think it would plum with some sort of texture in it. And it went over very well as an alternative choice, but not too crazy. Because I don't like to go too crazy.
Good job.
It ended up working out very well.
No, you look good. You look sharp.
Thank you very much. And it's great. Everybody, you know, they get torn up. Everybody has a good time. A
lot of drinking?
A fair amount. You know, beverage choices. Wild Turkey, Johnny Red, that kind of stuff.
Johnny Red.
Or maybe, Jim Beam White Label, one of those. So there's nothing that I'm like a big fan of alcohol-wise. So I just had beer.
Yeah, no, you got to bring in your own flask.
Bring
what
in my own
mean?
Flask, exactly.
Of course.
Like, hey, I had my own stuff.
Yeah, that's the wedding trick. When you get invited to a wedding, you got to bring in your own flask. And I learned this the hard way through experience over the years. And I used to say, "Oh, no, it's a wedding. It's open bar. Come on." Yeah, all those weddings of open bar, it's like turpentine liquor that they have there.
Yeah.
It's always the worst of the worst.
I cannot tolerate certain types of liquor. Can't tolerate it. Yep. Like, it just is not good. So.
And so, in the end,
I didn't do a lot of drinking.
When I get invited to a wedding, even if it's open bar, I no longer take any risk. I fill my flask up with my single malt and bring my own stuff because.
Now, do you, like, take swigs of it?
No. You just get a cup and you pour it into a cup.
Okay. So, yeah, like, no, I'm not sneaking around the corner.
No, I'm not sneaking anywhere. I just brought my own stuff because I'm not drinking the swill you got at that behind the bar.
I'm not drinking the garbage you guys are serving.
A few years ago, it happened to me the last time that I told somebody, "Oh, I'm going to a wedding," and I told them where it was, and they were like, "Dude, bring your own liquor." And I'm like, "No, they're having open bar." And the guy was like, "Dude, you're going to a wedding." He goes, "Trust me on this one."
That's
and
funny.
I didn't listen to him, and my wife and I ended up about an hour and a half into the wedding, walking out to the restaurant across the street and having drinks at the bar at the restaurant across the street because of the swill that they were serving.
Swill.
And then once we were done, we went back into the wedding. We just went over there, had a couple drinks, and came back.
That's awesome.
But yeah, that's it. Look, trust me, all you out there, when you get invited to a wedding, you got to bring your own booze.
Well, the first thing, buy a flask.
Yeah, well. Oh, I thought, well, every good drunk has their own flask.
Not everyone.
Every good
should.
Drunk has their
there
own flask.
Up and comings. So anyway, that's it. Vlad, thank you very much for joining us on our
no problem.
Bonus Thanksgiving show. Thanksgiving, pre-Black
One,
Friday.
Four.
We'll see you all out at the malls fighting.
Don't do it.
Yeah, you're going to have your... turkey. I'm not having turkey. The parents are going with honey-baked ham this year. So the steak and lobster tradition is kind of going down.
Wow, dude, all your traditions
ham.
Are going.
Yeah, that's fine.
The way of the typewriter.
The end of the year this year feels very uncomfortable. I'm going to put up my Christmas tree very early. I'm going to get a head start on the holidays.
Sounds like you're out of your element, Donnie.
I do feel out of my element, but I don't care. It's okay. It's fun to be out of my element. Thanks to all the listeners. Appreciate all of you. Those of you on Patreon, our great sponsors like Total Seal and Marvin Rodak, Samtech.edu, Magic Dry, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. If you're looking for a great gift and you know don't know what to get, check out one of those sponsors. Like I said the other day, get your special lady a little Magic Dry.
Yeah, that was great. That was a hit. I thought that was very big.
Good advice, right?
That was great.
Sweetie, I love you. Merry Christmas. Here's some Magic Dry.
Or get her a holiday pack from Marvin.
That's a legit.
For spices and stuff and tell her, honey, get back in the kitchen and cook me some pot pie.
Something like that. All right, everybody, that's going to do it. If we hung out there in L.A., good times, a lot of fun. NHRA Nitro later this week. And stay with us. Subscribe. If you thought this was interesting, click subscribe.
I mean, this is the off season. This is when things are going to get fun.
Think how much better it'll be when Vlad's not here.
Terrible.
Just kidding, Vlad.
That was awesome.
Joke. All right, everybody, that's it. WFO.
WFO!
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.
One.